Good morning, church. Today's scripture reading is coming from Acts 1, 1 through 8. But I'd also ask you to put your finger in Luke 24, 44 through 49. Because we're going to kind of flip back and forth a little bit. With that being said, I can't use Pastor Jim's phrase because he has a patent on it. So I hope you have your Bibles with you and be able to follow along. Let us pray. Lord, I recognize that my life is undeserving of Jesus' death on the cross, and that it should have been me that hung between the thieves. Yet by your incredible mercy and amazing grace, you have saved me from the penalty of my sins. I am grateful that you have chosen me, and that by your grace, my heart and mind are continually being renewed with a greater knowledge of you and your will for my life. I ask now that your Holy Spirit would help us to have ears to hear, soften our hearts, and renew our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. So as you know, Pastor Jim has faithfully been preaching his way through Romans, with a focus on the gospel and the mission work of Paul in the Church of Rome. Today we look at the start of the global church, Jesus' direction to the disciples in Acts, and how the gospel traveled from 33 AD to 2023 Dover, Delaware. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts 1, 1 through 8. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his sufferings by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them, "Do not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.'" I don't know about you, but I don't like to be confronted or to face my shortcomings. I prefer to focus on the things that I do well. But recently, these thoughts confronted me when Pastor Jim reminded us that we need to preach the gospel to ourselves. As I took the time to think about what that really looked like, I struggled with that concept. I began seeking God for answers, and what do you know? Pastor Jim asked me to preach today. Well, Acts and being a witness. At first, I thought I was unsure of how to preach the gospel to myself, then how was I to prepare a sermon about being a witness to others? Although I knew what it meant to be a witness, I was not sure if I had the time or if I had taken the time to truly consider what it meant. What does being a witness look like? Was I being a witness? Or was this a weakness that God was revealing in my life? I'd like to refer to a reading from 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will therefore I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I also want to refer to James 5:16 that says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it works." And I thank you for those that have been praying for me this week. So in obedience to Christ and through confession, I will boast in my weaknesses. And I ask for your prayers as I pray that it may be an encouragement to you to enter a period of self-examination as God has driven me to. The truth is, as I read and studied in preparation for this sermon, God not only answered the question I had, he provided reassurance and peace in the process. One of the things he taught me is that true success is found in surrendering of my heart and the acknowledgement of his sovereignty over his creation. I began to think about things I struggle with, things like communication and relationships, which, oh, by the way, require communication. I began to think about the things that I knew I did well. I was a good Marine. I'm a good umpire. And I have all the acknowledgments and a list of accomplishments that prove both of those. Being a good husband, a good father, leading my household well, being a good witness for Christ, those things are things that I struggle with. Not that I don't do my best to do them to the best of my ability. Just that these things are more challenging for me. Fulfilling the duties of a Marine and an umpire came very easily for me. So easily that one might foolishly think that I've accomplished those things in my own might. The pride that comes from this type of success, if we're not careful, can become temptations that pull us away from Christ and his more important work. I confess that I have been guilty at times of this in my life, but yet aren't we all? I love God. I believe in Jesus. I want to follow him, but I don't think I completely understood or believed, as it says in Proverbs 16:9, "The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." I've come to realize that any success that I have had in this world was only accomplished through the sovereignty and providence of God. In my study, God led me to Isaiah 29:13, which is a vision that he gave to Isaiah regarding the siege of Jerusalem and its people. And God says, "Because this people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men." God wants to reign in our hearts, the hearts of his people. I knew I loved God, but was I really allowing him to reign in my heart? Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." I knew I loved God, but did I love him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and all of my might? Could I really love him that way? And Luke 6:45 says, "The good person out of the good treasures of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evils in his heart produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." I don't know about you, but there are times when the things that come out of my mouth would lead people to believe that I do not have a good heart. We're commanded in Matthew 28:19 to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And in Mark 16:15, Jesus commands, "Go to all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." Think about that. All nations, all the world, the whole creation. How can a sinner like me do that? These are overwhelming tasks in 2023. We are better equipped, have better resources, and a better understanding of what the creation is. Yet it's still overwhelming. In order to answer the question why, we need to look at the who. Not the band, the disciples. They started the global church. They consisted of 11 men from various places, different backgrounds, different skill sets. There was also other followers of Christ that were there. When we read the Bible, we discover that they are not much different than us. Matthew 28:23 through 26 says, "We learned that they were afraid and had little faith." Matthew 15:32-39 says, "We see them doubt Jesus and his ability to feed 4,000 people with 7 loaves and a few fish." Yet the chapter before, they had already witnessed him feed 5,000 people with less loaves and less fish. And Mark 14:38, we see Jesus tell the disciples to watch and pray that they may not enter temptation. He says that the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. We see the weakness of their flesh as they enter into sleep. In Mark 14:27, Jesus shares a prophecy from Scripture that says, "They will all fall away." We see this prophecy fulfilled in verse 50, as Jesus had been betrayed and the crowd came to seize him. And they all left him and fled. They were afraid. They sure sound a lot like me. Maybe even some of you. They loved God. They believed that Jesus was the promised Messiah. They desired to be obedient to him and to follow him, just like we do. Yet, their flesh was weak. They entered into temptation. They doubted. They doubted the power of God. They feared the evils of this world. And at times, their faith was small. In Ephesians, Paul speaks of some additional similarities that we share. Turn with me to Ephesians 1, 11 through 14. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believe in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possessions of it, to the praise of his glory. Before we return to Acts 1:8, I asked you to bookmark Luke 24, 45 to 49, which says, when he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of the Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high. What is the power from on high? Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the end of the earth. So how do we do what Pastor Jim asks? How do we preach the gospel to ourselves? How do we prepare to be witnesses for Christ? How do we witness? And to whom do we witness? Where do we witness? I believe that what God has shown me is that it looks a lot less of me and a lot more of him. Luke 24:27 says, in the beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Jesus was teaching the disciples, and he teaches us. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He opened their minds to the truth of the scriptures. And he said to them, this is what is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. It's through reading the word of God and through sharing his word that we preach the gospel to ourselves and to others. You are witnesses to these things. Jesus is reassuring the disciples and us that we're not alone. We don't have to do this on our own. What things don't we have to do? Well, the previous verse says, this it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. We witness the gospel that was prepared for us before the foundations of the world. We're witnesses to the gospel that was recorded in the Holy Scriptures. were witnesses to the gospel that saved us. And we were chosen by the grace of God to proclaim this good news to the ends of the earth. How do we do that? By the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8, Jesus tells the disciples that they will be witnesses. But before that, he tells them that they will receive the power of the Holy Spirit when it comes upon them. And in Luke, he tells them that he is sending the promise of his Father and instructs them to wait for it. We don't have to be overwhelmed. We don't have to do this alone. If, like in Ephesians, we have heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, and believe in him, then we are sealed, Scripture says, with the same promised Holy Spirit of God. The same Spirit of God that descended upon Jesus at his baptismal, rested and remained on him. In Matthew 3:16, Mark 1:10, Luke 3:22, John 1:32. The same Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead, the same Spirit that the disciples received and were filled with at Pentecost, and it's the same Spirit of God that we were sealed with at our salvation. The Bible tells us that apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Becoming a Christian, growing in wisdom and faith, being obedient to God requires the power of the promised Holy Spirit of God. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. According to the scripture, we have that helper. A helper that will be with us forever. We know him. He dwells within us. So how did the gospel spread from the church in Jerusalem in 33 AD to Three Stones Church and every other local gospel-centered church in Delaware? That's simple. It was spread by men and women of little faith who were doubtful, weak in flesh, full of fear. Men and women who heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, believed and were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. Men and women just like us, who were obedient to follow the Great Commission, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Philip in Samaria and in the desert with the Ethiopian eunuch, Barnabas in Antioch, Peter in Caesarea, and Paul through his three missionary journeys that covered numerous cities, but it didn't end there. Through God's sovereign will and divine providence, God's people have carried the gospel to the literal ends of the earth because they faithfully shared the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, Many others, including you and I, have believed in Jesus and received the promised Holy Spirit because of that. Today, in 2023, we are the ends of the earth from Jerusalem. But there's still work to be done. The same Holy Spirit that empowered the disciples then carried them great distances, helped them to persevere, face persecution, beatings, stonings, imprisonment, snake bites, shipwrecks, is the same Holy Spirit that empowers his disciples today. And just as he did then, he will strengthen us, prepare us, and equip us to share the gospel everywhere we go. He'll help us to know what to do, when to do it, who to say it to, and put us in contact with people that have never heard the gospel. We all have family members, friends, neighbors, coworkers, acquaintances who have not heard and believed in the gospel. Hear this reassurance from Paul in Romans 1:16 as he declares, "He is not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." Amen. How do we witness? As it turns out, it's not as complicated or overwhelming as we thought. We read our Bible, we pray, we never stop meeting together, we study his word together. Jesus helps us to understand the scriptures. The scriptures preach the gospel, and the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. May we willingly surrender our hearts to God, read his word, and allow it to transform our hearts and renew our minds in Christ, and pray for the Holy Spirit to empower us to love our families, to lead our households well, speak the truth of God's word, and unashamedly share the gospel with others. Brothers and sisters, our Jerusalem is our homes, our Judea is our neighborhoods, and our Samaria is our community. Let us start there and trust that the Holy Spirit of God to take his gospel to the ends of the earth. Let us pray. Lord, we pray for humility and confess we are sinners and in need of Jesus. We are grateful for your grace and pray for the truth of Scripture to be revealed. Fill us with the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit and empower us to fulfill your will. Amen.